You do have a Bible. I'm going to ask you to grab it. We're going to turn to Colossians chapter 1 together. The title of my message is There is No Pastoral Transition at Cross Church. There's no pastoral transition at Cross Church. You say, well, Nick, if that is the case, then what in the world have we been walking through over the last several weeks together? While we have walked through a lot of earthly transition, I just want to be very, very clear that in heaven there has been no transition as to really who leads this church. And so today, as we get started here into a new journey together, into a new season together, I would just encourage us to lift our eyes and let's fix them on the Lord Jesus and not on a new pastor and not on a church in transition. And so as we look to the scriptures today, I want us just to point our focus and our attention there. And I want to just begin reading in verse 15. We'll go all the way through verse 20. The Bible says this. It says that he is the image of the invisible God. This is talking about Jesus here. It says the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. That's a great phrase to underline in your Bible. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. What I want to do today is just unfold this passage, just unfold the Word of God and what it says about the Son of God, Jesus, and ultimately about God's church. And while we're doing that, I want to lay some things out that I believe the Lord has put on my heart for this season, for this next season of the church. And if you were here a few weeks ago at our Fayetteville campus, these are some things that I began to unfold there. And I told you on that day, I said, if all this goes through with me becoming the pastor, I think I spoke on the day that I was actually being voted on, which was weird, by the way. And but I spoke and I said, listen, if this all happens, then you're going to hear me talk about these things again and again and again. And so here we find ourselves. When you look at Colossians chapter 1, and if you were to ask yourself, well, what is the main subject, or even a better way to say it, who is the main subject of the passage? We could all with one accord just say his name together. It is Jesus. Jesus is the focus of Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to say a statement right now that I'm going to say a few different times throughout this message today that I think really hones in on the real heartbeat of Colossians 1, as well as my own heartbeat for where we're at as a church. And here's what I would just tell us as we get started. Jesus is the one who leads Cross Church. He is the one who leads Cross Church. Now, if you look at this passage, and I'm just going to give you a laundry list of things that the Bible says here about Jesus, is the Apostle Paul speaking through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about Jesus, the Son of God. If you got a pen or a piece of paper, your phone, I would encourage you to write these things down and write them down quickly. I'm going to fly through what this passage teaches us about Jesus. Okay, so number one, if you're a note taker, write this down. It says that simply, he is God. He's God. Now, you may be here wondering, Nick, I don't know what God looks like. I don't know what God acts like. I just do not know God, but I would like to know God. Here's what the Bible says about Jesus. If you want to know what God looks like, if you want to know how God acts, you look at Jesus. When you look at Jesus, you are seeing God. Even verse 19, if you just point your eyes' attention down there, it says, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus. The Greek word here for fullness is the word which indicates the idea of completeness. He is completely God. If you're a parent in the room today and you would say when your child does something bad and you look at your spouse and you say, he is completely your child, what you're doing right then is you are saying that in every essence of the word, he is your child or she is your child. They are acting just like you. And the fact that Jesus was God, this is the reason why he was crucified. He wasn't crucified because he said some good things and healed some people and fed some people. He was killed because he claimed to be God. Even in this passage, the Bible tells us one of the descriptive phrases in the Bible about Jesus. It says that he is the firstborn of all creation. Well, you know Jesus was not born. Even this passage indicates that he was the creator. And so if he's always been, then what in the world does this mean? It means simply this, that it is referencing position or rank, that when Jesus is able to just portray himself rightly, which he always is, He can easily say, listen, I really am number one. He is the firstborn of all creation. Now, let's keep on going through the passage here. Not only is he God, but the Bible says that he is the creator. He's the creator. Now, we often don't see Jesus as the creator. We don't often think about him in that manner. We would often go to things like, well, he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But guess what this passage teaches us? It's that he's also the creator. And here's a key thing for your life today that you must understand. Because God himself, Jesus, created you, then he knows exactly what you need in your life, much better than even you understand that in your life. Now, verse 16 says this. It says that we were created by him and for him. And I would just stop right there and I would say, until you recognize that truth in your life as a Christian, you'll never be what God wants you to be. Pastor Rick Warren writes this. He says, you were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. What a great word. And it is so, so true. You see, some of you are trying to live the Christian life outside of those boundaries of recognizing that I've been created by God and for God and for his purposes. And you're going to find yourself constantly unfulfilled and frustrated in the Christian life because you're not living the life that God has intended you to live. If you just keep on reading in the passage here, you get to verse 17, we find out also that he holds all things together. Think about this. Every single thing in the world held together by Jesus. You think about government held together by Jesus. You think about sensitive areas around the world where there seems to be chaos all the time, held together by Jesus. You think about this church that God has put us in together, held together by Jesus. You think about your very life held together by Jesus. This is only power that Jesus has. Now, this next thing is one we'll park on for just a moment. The Bible here says in verse 18 that he is the head of the church. Now, let's just read that passage again. Verse 18, it says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. And so he is the head of the church. And so let's be loud and clear. Once again, Jesus is the one who leads Cross Church. And so because of this, like the title of this message says, there is no pastoral transition at Cross Church. Jesus is in charge. He's first in the church. He does the reconciling in the church. He is first. And he's not just been in charge the last 32 years that my father has been the pastor, but he has been in charge for 149 years here in this church. As my dad said on his last message at Bud Walton Arena on May 19th, he was simply an interim pastor. And I got to break it to you today. I am simply an interim pastor. And the next guy that you'll call beyond me, he's just an interim pastor. And the story of God through this church goes on and on and on and on. And every pastor who has ever served this church is subservient. They are under. If you want to think about it this way, we are under shepherds and Jesus is the chief shepherd. And so when I say this, this idea that there's no pastoral transition at Cross Church, that's a theological statement that should make every one of us kind of take a step back and breathe a sigh of relief of like, whew, praise God for that. You see, I got to break it to you today, some bad news about me, okay? And here's what that bad news is. I am just a man. I'm just a man. I'm a man who can't grow hair on my head. I'm a man who just struggles just like you struggle. I have to battle sin just like you have to battle sin. I sometimes make the wrong decision. Sometimes I may say the wrong thing. And even as it relates to the church, I can't make every phone call to every first-time guest of the church. I can't officiate every funeral or every wedding. I can't visit the hospital every time one of our members is in the hospital. It's just the reality that every one of us have to face, and I have to face this over and over and over, and you do as well, is I'm just a man. And the great thing about what we're studying today and what we're trying to understand together today is that it's never about a man, but it's always about a mission and a message. The mission of reaching people for Christ and the message of the gospel. You see, when we recognize Colossians chapter 1 as true, that Jesus really is the head of the church, it allows everybody to give grace to everybody else. It allows you to give grace to me as one of the pastors. It allows me to give grace to you as our members and pastors in the room today. And we just give grace. Why? Because all of us are men and women. all of us are human and we all fall short, but Jesus never does. Keep on reading. Look at verse 18. The Bible tells us that Jesus is preeminent. He's preeminent. Now, you may have heard that word said before, but you may be asking yourself, well, what in the world does the word preeminent mean? Here's what it means. That the Bible, when it says that Jesus is preeminent, here's what it's saying. That Jesus is first, he is supreme, he is different, he is unique, and that means he's not you, and he's not me. The Bible tells us that we are made in the image of God. He is not made in our image. And oftentimes we would like to reverse that if we like to make God think like we think. And the bottom line is, we are made in his image, not the other way around. He is first. He is preeminent. And if he is preeminent in all things, it must mean that you and I are second in our lives. And so before we move on any further, I just want to just pause and ask you a question. That if Jesus really is preeminent, which we believe is true based on Colossians 1. If he really is preeminent in all the world, I just want to ask you a personal question here. Is he preeminent in your life? Is he first in every single area of your life? Does he have first place, first rank in every decision that you make every single day? You see, a final thing here about Jesus, and then we'll talk about some things that I believe the Lord Jesus has put on my heart. It says that he reconciles to himself all things. Jesus is the reconciler between us and God. And what did Jesus do to make that a possibility? He gave himself on the cross. And he took our place and our punishment that we should have had because of our sin. And so here's what I would tell you. The great news about Colossians chapter 1 is this is available to you today. That if you've never been reconciled to God, never been forgiven of your sin, then Jesus can play the role of reconciler today and take you far from God and take God over here. And he brings the two together because of his sacrifice on the cross. And that can happen in you today. You see, if Jesus really is the one who leads Cross Church, and if Colossians chapter 1 is really true, which we believe that it is, why would we want anyone else at the helm of this church? Why would we want anybody else leading us as we move forward in the future? And so a question we got to just kind of ask together is this. So if Colossians chapter 1 is true, so if Jesus is number one in my life, if he's preeminent in my life, and if he's preeminent in the church, if he has first place in both of those things, well, what is our responsibility? And if you think about this in a church setting, what is our responsibility for me as the pastor and you as the people as we go after the mission of God together? It's a question I'd like to answer right now. The day after I took over as senior pastor here, May 20th, I was simply reading in my Cross Church Bible reading plan, and I was in the book of Numbers. And on May 20th, Monday morning, my Bible reading led me through a few chapters of Numbers, and one of those chapters was chapter 9. It may be a familiar story once I begin to recount it. Do you remember how God would lead Israel, and he would give them a cloud by day and fire by night? And it says that when the cloud would move, that Israel was to pack up all their belongings, load up the tabernacle, and that they were to move and just follow the cloud. Passage says that some days the tabernacle would stay a day, sometimes it would stay a month or even beyond a month. And so if God said stay, you stay. If God said move, you move. And it was all based on the movement of this cloud. That's a great way to think about the vision of this church. Whereas the mission stays the same of us reaching Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, if you're in Neosho today, America and the world for Jesus Christ, the vision may change of how we actually accomplish that from time to time. And as I have done that in my life, and as I have tried to put myself under the authority of Christ and say, God, give me the wisdom to lead this church for where you want us to go, I believe that the Lord has placed some things on my heart about this season of the church and what I believe is going to happen in the future of this church. You may say, well, Nick, is this like a new vision for the church? And I would probably reply, if you want to view it that way, I kind of view it as an old vision, like 2,000 years old kind of vision. And I just want to begin to lay some things out that the Lord has put on my heart. And like I mentioned earlier, if you're at the Fayetteville campus, you've heard some of these things already. And I just want to continue to kind of beat these drums together and even say them in a bit of a different way together as we speak today. If you're out in the community and people know you go to Cross Church and they say, well, man, what, you know, I know you guys are going through a lot of change. And what's going to be the future there? What's that new guy passionate about? What's his real heartbeat? I hope these are some things that you can take and just say, hey, this is where we're headed as a church. These are three things that God's put on the heart of our pastor for this season of the church. And so really that's how I've titled these things, that here are some things on my heart that I'd like to share with you today. So number one is just reaching people, just reaching people. If Jesus really is preeminent, then giving his message out should be preeminent in our church. Like if the Bible is really true, which we believe that it is, and if Jesus really is who he says he is, then that is worthy of us giving our lives to get his message of forgiveness out to the world. This idea of us reaching people as a church, this is not a new idea. You cut us and we bleed, this idea of reaching people. It's not unfamiliar to this church. This was present in the tenure and in the heart of my father. Honestly, it was present in the heart of the pastor before him, Pastor Cliff Palmer. And it is also in my heart that we would be a reaching church. And is the Jesus of Colossians chapter 1 really worth spending our lives on? And I think it's got a question we got to wrestle with. And I think it's an affirmative answer of absolutely, he is worthy of all that we could give, all that we could do, all the energy that we have in our lives and in our bodies, that we would give him every part of who we are. You know, 23 years ago, this church reached me. So said it another way, 23 years ago, this church reached its pastor with the gospel of Jesus. That's an amazing thing for this church to be able to say that. And you never know who we are reaching right now or who we're going to reach in the future. Could it be that we are reaching our next pastor? Could it be that we are reaching the next Billy Graham or the next Lottie Moon or the next businessman or businesswoman who's going to make a major difference in the life of corporate America? We just have no idea. But that's why we have such a heart for just reaching people, leaving the results up to God. God, you do what you want to do here in our midst. And this has got to remain our focus. You see, churches that focus externally have a way of remaining healthy. In other words, churches that say, listen, it's about reaching people. It's about people that are not here yet. It's not about me. It's about people out there. It's about other people. Like, that just has a way of keeping a church healthy. On the flip side of that, churches that become internal, that look internal, often become unhealthy. It becomes all about me, all about my desires, all about my preferences, and that's just never a healthy place to be. And what I just want us to continue to do is to keep an outward focus, an external focus of reaching people. And even later in the fall, we're going to bring you a specific strategy about how you as the members of this body, the members of this church, can blanket this community with the love of Jesus Christ in a way in which we have never, ever even done before. So reaching people is on my heart. The second thing that God has put on my heart is just simply the Word of God, the Word of God. That's a very general way to say it. But let me explain what I mean when I say the Word of God, okay? The Word of God is to be central to the Christian's life, like at the very center of all that you are. And if we really believe that the book that I hold today are the breathed out words of God, then this is worthy of our attention. This is worthy of us centering our lives on the Word of God. If you were at Fayetteville a few weeks ago, I gave this picture here, and I think it's a good way to look at it, of is the Word of God really the center of my life? If you think about just a large circle that represents your life, every aspect of your life, the way you parent, the way you're a grandparent, the way you're a student, the way you're a middle schooler, like however, and whatever stage of life you may be in, is the Word of God central to my life, and does it inform every single decision and every part of who I am? And if it is not the case, then we all have some adjusting to do. And really what God has put on my heart is to encourage us together and to push you with every fiber of my being to go deeper in your study and in your knowledge and in your obedience to the Word of God. The good news here is that we already have such an amazing foundation here. Cross Church is known as a Bible-centered kind of church. You want to hear the Word of God, you go to Cross Church, okay? And so we have a very rich history of that in our 149 years of existence as a church. And yet even with such a rich history of Bible preaching and Bible study and ministries that all center around the Bible, here's what I just want to encourage us towards. We can all go deeper. You say, well, man, what are you trying to say when you say that? We can all go deeper because here's what I know about the Word of God and here's what I love about the Word of God. You can never exhaust its material. It is like a well that never runs dry. You can always dig deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And God will speak to you in new and in fresh ways. And so if this is your church, if you were to say, Nick, Cross Church is my deal. Cross Church is where God's led me and led me and my family. Here's what I just want to just really encourage you with, because I think it's absolutely true. If this is your church, then God is calling you to go to a deeper level of relationship with him than you've ever had before. To go deeper into the word, to dig deeper into the word of God than you've ever been. To place yourself regularly under the word of God. That's how I often say it. Under the word of God. When we open up the doors for church on Sunday, that you've got you and your family sitting, listening to the word of God, receiving the word of God. You're studying the word of God alone, personally, at your home every single day. You find yourself involved in a small group where, again, you are under the word of God. We need this book to be at the center of your life. And we want to help you do that. One of the ways that you can make this a reality in your own life is at every campus, out in the lobby today, you will find Bible reading plans. These are Cross Church plans that we put together a few years ago. You can also find this online at crosschurch.com. So we want to help you begin this process of centering your life on the word of God. The last thing that I think God has put on my heart that I just want to share with you today about is just the manifest presence of God. God has put on my heart that we would experience the manifest presence of God together when we gather every single day and every single week on Sundays. You may say, well, Nick, what is the manifest presence of God? You know, that's something I may have heard before, but I couldn't really define that if you were to just pin me down on that. And so let me try to bring some understanding to this. This is much different than omnipresence. We often talk about that theological term, the idea of omnipresence. And what does this mean? It means that God is everywhere, okay? And this is a very biblical thing that we hold to as well. The psalmist said, where can I flee from your presence? Jonah tried to run from the presence of the Lord. Well, how'd that work for him? Didn't work very good, right? And so this is a very different thing here. When we say omnipresence, we say, man, God is here. When we talk about manifest presence, if we were to say, man, the manifest presence of God showed up today at church, we wouldn't say, hey, God is here. We would say, God is here. Like today, he was present in the room. Like he moved and he convicted and he showed me things and he pushed me towards things like I've not experienced in a long, long time. This is the mindset of Isaiah 64:1, where he says that, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. Literally, Isaiah is praying, God, would you tear the garments of heaven? And would you come down and would you visit us in a very unique way? I got a question for you. This has to do with you personally, and it has to do with us corporately together as a church. But what would God do with the church who every Sunday said Isaiah 64:1 is the bullseye for this service? What would God do in your life as a member or as an attender of this church if you walked in every single Sunday with the expectation that God would tear the heavens open and pour down his manifest presence? Like, what in the world would we begin to experience together? You say, well, what is the bullseye for every time we meet together? Isaiah 64:1. Like, that's what we're going after. And so here's another question for you. Don't you want to attend a church that God also attends? I mean, that's true in my life. I want God to attend here. I want God to be here. And you can usually tell this if you've ever walked into a real dead church where you're like, man, I know God's everywhere, but man, I don't sense his presence here. And there's just a deadness and there's no sense of being alive. And then you walk into another church and literally the moment you walk in the doors, you're like, man, something is different here. What is that? Manifest presence of God. Let me oversimplify something. God goes where he's wanted. God goes where he's desired. God goes where he is asked to go. And so I just want to encourage us towards a dependency upon the Spirit of God, towards a longing, a crying out for God where we just really have an expectation for him to move. You see, there's a very real sense where our expectation of God and our readiness to hear from God provide an environment for the presence of God. Let me just say that statement again. There's a very real sense where our expectation of God and our readiness to hear from God provide an environment for the presence of God. You may be hearing this and it may be stirring some things inside of you. You say, man, this sounds amazing. Like, I want some of that. Like, how do we experience that as a church? Like, how do I do my part to do that? And here's how I think you do your part, because it's not just something that I can do as the pastor. It's not something that our staff can do and just try to muster this up. This really does take every single one of us walking with the Lord Jesus during the week, centering our lives on the Word of God, and coming ready to worship and ready to hear from God. Like we wake up every Sunday morning with a, man, I'm so excited to get to church today. We're going to meet with God. I can't wait to hear what God has to say to me. And I'm pumped beyond belief that it is Sunday morning. I get to hear from God with the people that I love around me. God goes where he's wanted. God goes where there's an expectation of him. And I just want to encourage you. We come to church to worship. Church at its basic core is not for us. It's for God. And so when we come to worship, we don't need to sit during the music time and go, okay, let's get this 20 minutes over. I'm ready for the real part. You know, give us the word. It's not an either or. It's a both and. You see, it's kind of like a relationship. When you have a relationship with somebody, you talk to them, they talk back to you. Or if you're younger, they text you, you text back to them, okay? But there's a very real sense of a relationship that is a back and forth here. What we need to recognize the church service is like is during the worship portion when we sing together, that is me speaking to God. I am saying things to him that I want to say to him. I am singing things to him because he's worthy to hear these things. And then when we all sit down and the word of God is opened and the preacher begins to preach, that is God speaking to us. And so it's this picture of a relationship of a back and forth. I speak to God and God speaks to me every single Sunday. So if you were to say, well, Nick, sum this up as it relates to the future of what we're going to be and who we are going to be as a church, here's the way I would say it. What do we do here at Cross Church? We reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We center our lives on the Word of God. And we come together each Sunday with a desperate cry to God that he might come down in power and do the things that only he can do. Don't you want to be a part of a church like that? The kind of church where people say, man, that just doesn't make sense. I mean, what's happening there is beyond a preacher. It's beyond a people. Only God could have done that. That's what we're after. That's the bullseye. The supernatural work of God. And this is a supernatural thing. Only God through his Spirit can actually save a person. Only God through his Spirit can take the word of God and help somebody to grow and to be obedient to it. Only God can tear the heavens open and pour down his manifest presence upon us. And so today's message, and what I would say, today's announcement of a new season for our church is one that only has one proper response to God. Dependence. You see, what we want God to do in our midst is to help us reach people, to help us to grow them through centering their lives on the Word of God, and for us to experience the manifest presence of God when we gather together so that we get to a place where we see God do some things that only God could do. And all of that requires dependence. None of that we can do on our own power. None of it we can do in our own strength. We can't hire talented enough pastors. We can't get talented enough members for this task. This is a God task. And I want to encourage you, if this is your church, then God's calling us to a new season of dependence. And in just a moment as we pray, and then we'll stand in just a moment and sing this great song together, I want to encourage you that maybe God is leading you just to come and pray at this altar, whichever altar and whatever building you find yourself in today, that if the words of the Word of God and the words of this message resonate with you today, that you would say, Lord Jesus, do it here. Do it in me. Do it at this church. And God, I am proclaiming as one of the people in this church just a strong desire and a strong dependence upon you that you would do what only you can do in my life and in this church. Today, if you're here and you've never met Jesus Christ, What you need to understand is what I talked about just a moment ago, that God can reconcile you to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. And God can do something that only he can do in your life. You see, I can't save you. I can't grant forgiveness to you. I can't make you talk to God in a certain way. But God, through his Spirit, can change your life today. And that's why our pastors at all of our campuses today, when I pray, they're going to make their way to the front of each aisle. And as soon as we get done praying, we're going to stand together and we're going to sing. And as soon as that takes place, if that's you today and you need Christ, then I want to encourage you to leave where you're standing today. And I want to encourage you to come and find a pastor and say, "Pastor, I need Jesus." And they will lead you to faith in Jesus today, right before you go home. I want us to pray together, and then we're going to respond to the word of God together. Lord Jesus, please move in these final moments of our service. We trust you that you can do things that we can't do. Lord, we are dependent on you for the power of God right now. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.